You might remember, you might not, but I've been thinking about this word consider, and I've talked a little bit a couple of times ago, consider him. This is from Hebrews chapter 3. I'd like you to turn there again, please. Hebrews chapter 3. And just initially verses 1 to 6. And we've thought somewhat about that central point that just comes in that first verse. Consider Christ Jesus. And that's what we were doing actually this morning. With that illustration, we were dipping into Old Testament scriptures. We were having a visual demonstration. We were thinking about the plagues. But what we were doing actually was considering Christ Jesus. Who he is and what he's done. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Consider Christ Jesus. He is the rock of our salvation. And the antidote to everything, to be honest. Whatever's plaguing, this is it. Look to Christ and be saved. Look to Christ and find rest. Look to Christ for forgiveness. Look to Christ for deliverance. Look to him. Consider him. Oh, praise God. And that's such a wonderful theme. And then last time we talked about, as part of this consideration of Christ, we talked about consider, do you remember, his creation. So consider Christ. And we consider him and his offices, his work, his character, his nature, everything. That's a wonderful, wonderful exercise for the people of faith to continue in. Consider him as part of that. And this is a great joy for us. We're to consider his creation. If you like, his handiwork. The work of his hands. Which, I mean, on a day like today, again, I hope you've been doing it. I hope this is part of what you do as a gifted human being. Use your it's amazing we've been given these senses to experience the world around us, and as redeemed people, genuinely, like we sing, sky above is softer blue. You know that hymn? The wonder and the beauty and the glory of God's handiwork. And it's, we looked last time particularly at his creation in the sense of the heavens and the earth. But I'm looking now inside this room at his handiwork too. Remarkable. And you could consider, and sometimes it's quite a good exercise to do that, consider the wonder of what it is to be a human being. The enemy is absolutely out to rob and steal and destroy. And in this regard, I think I mentioned, and Richard is particularly burdened with the fact of what's happened over the last few decades in particular, a militant opposition to the fact and the truth of Creator God. So it's not just, if I can put it like this, kind of becoming agnostic or atheist, but a very specific aspect of that is to knock on the head the idea that this and all of us are created by God. You know that in our society. It's militant. And the enemy is definitely out to quash this wonderful truth that God is Creator God. And there you all are sitting there, listening attentively, hopefully. Created. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And does your soul know that right well, as it says in Psalm 139? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The work of his hands. Oh, glory to God. And today I want us now to focus in a little further in our consideration So we consider Christ, and as part of our consideration of Christ, we consider his creation. And now, my friends, and this is rather surprising, but I want us to consider his church. The apple of his eye. His beloved. His most precious people. His love. His bride. Consider his church. And sometimes we'll think, hang on a minute, we shouldn't get distracted. We're supposed to be considering Christ. You know what? The amazing thing, and we'll come to it in some moments, that actually the scripture is very clear that in our consideration of Christ, you cannot get away from it. We are to consider one another. And it's a wonderful, wonderful privilege. And there's specific reason. I'm not going to be comprehensive this morning, but there's one particular reason I want us to look at that hopefully we'll find helpful as we move on together in this time. It's a wonderful privilege to be alive right now in this time. This is it, my friends. Somehow, amazingly, in his redeeming grace and foreknowledge, he's chosen for us to be here, right now, for this time. It isn't haphazard, it isn't random. I know it sometimes feels like it. But the sovereign Lord has chosen for us to be here at this time. And he does these things with specific purpose and power behind it. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? You haven't just turned up by accident. He does things on purpose. Isn't that wonderful? I know when we're kids, we're very keen to point out that when we smashed the vase, it was by accident. Or when the ball went through the window. Do you remember that? But it was by accident. Or when I elbowed my brother when he was doing my head in. It was by accident. No, it wasn't. He did it on purpose. You know that whole debate. Well, I just want to clear this up. With the things of God, it's on purpose. It's not by accident. Even when it seemed like it had all gone horribly wrong and something had pulled the rug from under the great plan, it wasn't by accident. Isn't that wonderful? You didn't come to be by accident, my friend. Glory to God, you're here because God ordained it. I mean, here on the planet at this time. You may have all things going off in your head. This shouldn't have happened. That shouldn't have happened. I want to tell you, in the name of Jesus, you're here on purpose. It's not by accident. Glory to God. I'm speaking against things that are prevalent in our society. If you followed the thought through, this whole militant opposition of God as Creator God has under it, in the backwash, if you like, this whole thing of it's all just by accident. I wasn't going to speak about this. Sorry, something's rising up to declare that it's on purpose. Glory to God. Glory to God. He knows what he's doing. And yes, the enemy plays havoc with people's lives, and it's so wrong, and some of the stuff that happens to people is so wrong, and some of the stuff that we do is so wrong. But God Almighty has foreseen it all and has paid the ultimate price in Christ once and for all. And this ripples out backwards and forwards and up and down and every which way. Oh, praise God. Christ accomplished on the cross the mighty ultimate work. Oh, glory, glory. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, consider him. Consider his creation. Consider his church. Listen to these verses. chapter 3 of Hebrews. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one, capital O, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. That was our little link for last time. Consider his handiwork, creator, the builder. Oh, hallelujah. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his, capital H, house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his house, whose house we are. Isn't that an amazing phrase? Whose house we are. Consider his church, the people of God. And then the verse finishes there. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. I mentioned last time, we are his household. Just listen to these verses. We won't turn to them. In Galatians, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And in Ephesians, no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And this beautiful phrase, and members. Members. But that has such a rich sense of belonging. Part of the family. Members of the household of God. Isn't that such a beautiful picture? Consider his church, in this regard, just now, members of God's household. Huh. Oh, how wonderful. If you let these truths sink deep into your very core as a person, you will become settled and established. And you'll realize that it's not by accident, but you've been chosen to be a member of God's family. Glory to God. Let that speak peace deep into your souls. Jesus Christ has looked upon you and chosen you with love in his heart and his eyes. Said, oh, my beloved one. My precious one, the apple of my eye. I mean, seriously, this is great, great. Isn't it? I can't overstate how wonderful this is for your sanity as a person, for your wholeness as a person, for your where you sit in the grand scheme of things. This, if we get this settled. Hallelujah. What a foundation. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining, when the storms are blowing, and there's brothers and sisters of ours currently in the world today who are paying for holding fast the confession, for holding fast the hope, they're paying with their natural lives. But boy, are they having an entrance into glory. But they're members of this house, this family. Wonderful. Wonderful. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast. Oh, praise God. I'm going to quote now. You might think this is a bit of a tangential leap. Just bear with me. A little bit of John Donne. You okay for that? No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a prominent... Don't read into that. This is John Donne long before what's going on right now. Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as any manner of thine own friends or thine own were, any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. A little bit of John Donne there. He's making a broad, general point about what it is to be human in this context. Now, just lift some of that thought and apply it with added gusto and relevance and power for what it is to be a part of the whole. The body of Christ, the people of God. Consider his church, whether you like it or not. I've often heard Brian saying this with a twinkle in his eye. We're joined together. We're one. A part of the whole. Diminished in some sense if one goes down. Do you get the metaphor? You get the picture? It's a wonderful picture. Enlarged as one is enlarged. Rejoicing with those that rejoice. Weeping with those that weep. We are part of one another as this precious family of God, this household of faith. Glory to his name. And I thank God for every one of you. Thank the Lord for every member of the household of God here in this place, just now, right now. In his sovereignty, he chooses. There's times, there's seasons, but we're here today. That's what we're talking about, okay? Praise God for every member of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Precious. Precious in his sight. Turn with me now quickly to Hebrews chapter 10. And hold that thought. We are his house. And the idea that we're to consider one another. I'd like to just read a few verses here, please, if that's okay. Therefore, brethren, you find it almost the same start as in chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, and here in chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which we've had so powerfully depicted for us this morning. A new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over. Have you got this theme? It's so rich. It's kind of pulsating through the scriptures here in Hebrews. Having a high priest over the house of God. In the light of that, and the therefore there is all that's gone before. In the light of that, here's the exhortation. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. There's a temptation to waver. Isn't there? That comes. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. It's almost like we planned this morning. I had no idea what Ruth was going to talk about. But did you hear her? She was up saying, when God makes a promise... And we had that so wonderfully, so powerfully illustrated. When God makes a promise, he absolutely keeps it. Glory to his name. faithful is he who promised. Here in Hebrews 23, he who promised is faithful. These things are like an anchor for our soul. Sure and steadfast. It's not actually the things, it's him. He is our hope. He is our anchor. And all that comes from him is his promise, his word, his faithfulness. Glory to him. And then in verse 24, and let us, I don't know what version you're reading from this morning. Have we got, let's have a show of hands. Who's got a New King James going on? Look at that, it's very popular these days, yeah. Sort of just moving it up from the old King James. It's okay, you haven't moved away from the faith. You just... Any authorized? Nice, keeping it real. Bless you. Any others? Any New American Standard? Yeah. From our days in China, I remember you and the Amplified. It was wonderful. Say again? New Living. Bold move there. Admitting that. No. Bless you. English Standard. Okay. NIV. Yeah. And some of you are going, the nearly inspired. No, it's perfectly fine. Wonderful to have such a rich range of translation, isn't it? And actually, it's good to compare sometimes. So now, what does it say in verse 24? I'm reading from the New King James. What version have you got? ESV. So what have you got there? Consider what? Okay, just hold that thought there. So let us consider how to... Okay? Any different there? We've had English Standard. What have you got, brother? Sorry, you had the ESV, yeah. Living? Paul? Verse 24. I'm trying to make a point here. I know we're slightly labouring it, but that's okay. Okay, similar. Yeah, let us consider how we, etc. NIV, let us consider how we. Okay, so there's basically on this verse, there's a number of different approaches. And often you'll find in the scripture there are certain parts that are quite tricky. Hence the variation in the different translations. I just want to read something to you. So there's something in this particular text, particularly verse 24, that's hard, quite hard to convey in English. The word, we've all had the word consider, haven't we? Which is good, because that's what we're talking about. I'm glad it didn't come up as something entirely different there. So consider is all the same. So we've all got the word consider. And in some of the translations there, let us consider how to... is one way it's put. This little part here actually only occurs in one other place, and the other place is where we were last time and where we just read from at the beginning of today, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, which is consider, the apostle and high priest, essentially consider Christ Jesus. Okay? Here, in actual fact, and people struggle with it because of what it's actually saying, it says in the same, with the same language, in the same way, it actually says, like it says in chapter 3, consider Christ Jesus, it says, consider, literally, consider one another. So if in your version you've got consider how to stir up one another, that isn't the full force of it here. It gives a sense of what we're to do. And when we come to the purpose of why we're to consider one another, that's great. But I'm just flagging that up, that in this particular instance, the power of it is shockingly powerful when you think that in Hebrews 3, we're all comfortable with that. Consider Christ Jesus. Yes, we've got our focus right. Well, actually in 10, based on all that's been revealed through the letter up to this point, it then says, bang! And it's shocking. Now, consider one another. I don't know what you think about that. When I realized what was going on, I was a little shocked myself. I thought, no, surely it can't be the same language and the power of it described to say consider Christ as consider essentially his church. What's the point? What's the point? Why? Now, in whichever version, it actually goes on to say it's linked with in order to stir up love and good works. Oh, glory to God. So this isn't getting distracted from our consideration of Christ. This is part of our consideration of Christ, is that we consider his body. It's actually emphasizing the massive miracle that's taken place, that by his amazing grace you have been made partakers of Christ. I don't know if you're getting the force of that. So listen, literally consider one another in order, and this is the purpose, to stir up love and good works. Let's have a brief little look at that, shall we? I don't know if you've thought about the phrase stir up. It's a very interesting one. There's a word behind it. I'm not going to be able to pronounce it entirely correctly, but it's something like paroxysm. Okay? You get the root word of oxygen in there. Very interesting. That's a wonderful picture, kind of metaphor behind this to give us the real sense of it. So you can see it referring to the bellows of the blacksmith, which blast the coals and heat things up in order to be able to sharpen iron. Are you getting where we're going here? Oh, this is wonderful. This word can actually be used negatively. Contention. Provocation. Hear that word, provoke one another. Stir up one another. It can be used both negatively, but here, oh wow, it's so positive. It's this sense of, and go with me, that we consider one another in our consideration of Christ, his amazing handiwork, his creative power, his redeeming grace, his, from our point of view, entirely risky plan, but in his great heart, the treasure, the crown of what he's about. Consider one another to stir up, to provoke one another to love and good works. Like the bellows on the coals. In order for that, in the Proverbs it says, as iron sharpens iron, so what does it go? Something like that. It talks about the countenance. Yeah, it talks about the countenance of a friend. That's not, you're looking sharp, Mike. It's not that. Although you are. I'm not. Sorry. Sorry, Iona. But it's not about that. It's about character formation. It's about transformation of the very reality of the people we are as redeemed humanity. Glory to God. And when our brother Peter stands up, I honour you, my friend. That was the word of God to me this morning. I've known about your work, I know about it, but the testimony was what I needed to hear today, right today, that moment. I needed to hear you say, it's been 4 years of contesting and difficulty and struggle, and you stood here as a flesh and blood testimony of the faithfulness of God. And you were real about your thinking, is this from me? Is this from the Lord? And all of those things you just said. That, right there, the Holy Spirit took the work that was going on in my brother there and planted it in me and was sharpening up, blowing the oxygen on the coals, provoking me in my thoughts and in my heart to say fresh today, I trust you, Lord. Do you see what I'm talking about? This is not pie in the sky. This is rubber hitting the road, and you can smell the burning of it sometimes. Mum threw in a little pop there after Pete's declaration, which had been born in mission, trying to communicate the wonder of what Christ has actually done for us to a sister who was struggling with faith or maybe hadn't seen. That was born in lands far away, communicated here this morning. Mum jumps in on the end. You didn't know what the next chorus was, but you said, with suffering, didn't you? What's going on? The oxygen of the Holy Spirit, if I can put it like that, blowing on the coals. You know, one coal on its own will quickly, quickly go cold. But together, together, and the Lord Himself in the power of His Holy Spirit is blowing hope. He's blowing faith. He's blowing focus. Did you hear what went on just there? I'm sorry, we're getting very interactive here, but I'm just observing what's actually happening as we gather together. Consider one another. And the word comes here. A tongue. And then, hang on, let's hold. Wait. Sometimes it's not pretty, is it? We're not quite sure what's going to happen. It's not all slick. But I tell you what, there's something miraculous occurring amongst the people of God. And the Holy Spirit comes and stirs a word. And then, boom, it goes straight, the application. I'm sure others were saying that was for me. Maybe some of you were thinking, I think that's for Roger. Because it came on the back of praying for Roger. But don't limit the word of God. It can be, yes, but for the many. Oh, praise God. That wasn't a political slogan. Sorry. I've got to be ever so careful. These times we live in. For the many, not the few. Let's take that. We'll redeem that. Yeah, for ourselves. Not political. Glory to His name. I've been known to nick adverts before. Yeah, exclusively for everyone. That's the gospel. Yeah, M&S, you can have it for your cakes, but we're having it for the greater truth. This is exclusively for everyone. I love the way the Lord works amongst us. Here, specifically. Oh, glory, glory to His name. Isn't He wonderful? And all of this provocation positively, this exciting, this stirring to love and good works. Roger stands here. I'm going again. Genuinely. Oh, Jesus. How powerful is that? Dad, last week. Going again. We go again. Sorry, I'm nicking that from Liverpool. Stevie G. We go again. We go again. Are you with me? We go again. I'm going to do it again. Have you ever heard? Don't listen to the whole song. It's terrible. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Have you heard that one?
Yeah.
That's completely secular. But the Lord spoke to me through that in my previous work situation. I just overheard it. And it was the Lord speaking to me. Like a weeble. We go again. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Glory to His name. Not because of us, but somehow, yes, because God has chosen to set us together. Richard, all of you, you hanging on in there with faith in Jesus against all the odds. Can I put it like this? What a benediction. What a blessing. What an encouragement. It may be hidden away. It may be out testified, but this is powerful. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His name. And I want to say again, I've gone right off piece. Sorry, Pete. But I want to say again in the name of Jesus, the enemy does not have the last word. Jesus is the final word. He is the last word. Glory to his name. And ultimately, oh wow, we are heading to such a magnificent day. And it says here, listen, let us consider one. I'm going to finish here. And for the first time in a long time, I'm going to be bang on time. So let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So this, my friends, is not to whimper out. This is actually as the day is approaching, and at times the pressure increases, we are to encourage one another. Amen. We go again. Oh, hallelujah. Will we consider one another in the light of what we've seen there in a fresh, wonderfully positive way? Provoking one another positively to love and good works. Glory to his name. Shall we pray? Hallelujah.